In this week's Parsha, Parshas Tazria, we learn about Bris Mila. Now, of course, we know about Bris Mila. We know about Bris Mila from the time of Avram Avinu, who was the first one who had a Bris Mila. But here we're going to be given the halachas of the Bris Mila. And there's a Gemara, a Mishnah, a Nedarim, where it talks about the different Tanaim discussing how great the Mila is, and each one has something else to say. Rabbi Yishmael says, G'dayla Mila, that it's compared to the Shleishas Rebrisais, the 13 Midos HaRachmim that are given to us. And Rabbi Yossi says, G'dayla Mila Shadoiches HaShabbos, that if a child is supposed to have his bris at the 8th day is on Shabbos, that even though you are being over some halachas of Shabbos, you don't push off the bris, you have it on Shabbos. And it goes through many of the Tanaim, and then Davar Acher, another explanation, G'dayla Mila, Shel Ilmalehi, without the Bris Mila, Lai Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sa'olam, Hashem wouldn't have even created his world, as it says, Koyamar Hashem, Im Lai Brisi Yoyman V'Layla, Chuka Shemayim V'Aretz Lysamti, if not for my bris day and night, I would not have created the world. There wouldn't be, the foundation of heavens and earth would not have happened. The Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which we usually translate to mean, the bris we usually translate to mean the Torah. If there wouldn't be Torah learning day and night, then there wouldn't be a world. But it seems here in the Mishnah that it's taking it to mean literally the bris. I have to understand why a bris is called a bris, because really we would call it something else, meaning what's happening by a bris. There's a physical operation going on here with the orla of a male child being removed, but we don't see a covenant, we don't see a bris, because a bris means it's an agreement. So on an agreement, you have to have two sides to the agreement. So all we see is one side. We see father and his son. So who's on the other side of the bris, right? Who's the other end of this bris mila that's happening? And the obvious answer is that it must be a Kadosh Baruch Hu is on the other side, which makes it make sense then that the beginning of the mila, the beginning of the ceremony of Bris Mila, the male calls out, Bris Kodesh, right? This is a holy bris. Because we are making a covenant here. There is some sort of connection going on between father and child, and on the other side, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Sfarna in Parshas Vayera, where it talks about Vayera, Elav Hashem be'Eloi Ne'mamre, that Hashem appeared to him in Eloi Ne'mamre, that the reason he came to Eloi Ne'mamre, the reason Hashem Dafka appeared to Avram and Eloi Ne'mamre right now, is because Kisham Nimal Avram. That's Oz V'chol Beisai. That's the what happened there at this house now is that this is where Avram and his whole Beisai, his whole house, got the bris together with him. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him there like Hashem appears by a bris. And he ends the Sfarna and he says, V'ulai b'shvil zeh, and maybe, perhaps, because of this, we have the minhag l'hachin kisei be'es hamila, u'bim koima. At the time and the place of a mila, we prepare a special chair at the occasion of the mila. And this chair, he's quoting a Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, for this chair. And the chair alludes to the fact that hopefully there's the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu here at this bris. He's here. He's actually here because to have a bris, you need to have two. Of course, Hashem is always everywhere, but there's a special presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that comes to a bris. And when we make a bris su'uda, essentially what we're doing is we are ratifying that bris, because we see whenever people make a bris in the Chumash, like Yaakov and Lavan, Elimelech and Avram, they always had a meal afterwards, right? They always sit down to have their meal after they make this covenant, after they make this bris. Therefore, we know that there's a halacha in the Ramah says that we don't invite people to a bris, because if they do and they don't, if we invite them and they don't come, it's a very serious problem. And the Panovich Rav explains what the problem is. He says we don't find this by any other Sudas Mitzvah, right? If you invite someone to a wedding and they don't come to the wedding, you might be insulted that they didn't come to the wedding, but they don't have a problem that they didn't come to a wedding. Meaning there's no problem for them that they didn't come, besides having to explain to you why they didn't come. But to a bris, we never invite people. We tell people, we let people know that there's a bris, because all the other Suddhas mitzvahs are Suddhas Haida'a, meaning we're thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for reaching a chasana, for reaching a bar mitzvah, whatever it is, a siyum, whatever it is that we're doing. But here, you're actually participating in a bris, meaning there's a bris going on here. I'm not talking about the physical bris, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's present. He's come here. And you haven't come, meaning you could come to a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arrived and is present, and you didn't have the time to come. So we don't invite people so that there shouldn't be this kitrug on them that they didn't come. This is also why we stand when the bris is being done, like people stand when they make any other type of covenant. Whenever every type of bris, they are standing there. This also explains, according to the Griz, why Avram, who kept the entire Torah, did not make himself a bris before he was commanded to make a bris, meaning it's a question that we would have, that Avram knew to keep Pesach. Nobody told him to keep Pesach, and yet we see that he kept Pesach. And it says, so too the Avos kept Kol HaTorah Kulai. They kept all the mitzvahs. To the extent that we question, for example, how come Yaakov married two sisters if he kept all the rest of the Torah? We have an answer to it, but the assumption is they kept the whole Torah. So how come it took Avram so many years till he was 99 years old for him to have a bris? Why did he wait? If he understood the whole Torah from his understanding of what would have to be done, it says that the Avos were able to look at the world and understand the blueprint. Like a good architect who could look at the house, he could redraw the blueprint just from looking at the house. It says that Hashem Istakal ba'araisa uvara alma, Hashem looked at the blueprint of the Torah, and with that he created the world. So why wouldn't Avram have understood himself that he should have a bris, like everything else he did? It's because it had to be done when he was told by Hashem to do it, because a bris needs two sides, and so therefore he had to wait for the command, so Hashem would be there on the other side. There's also an interesting addition to the Zimun by benching by a bris milah. If you pay attention, there are, like by a wedding, you have the Sheva Brachas at the end of benching. There's a special Zimun that you say. It's not just Rabbi Sai Nevarech. There are different words that we say. There's also different Arachmans that you say in the middle of benching, but the introduction to benching, and we don't have the Zimun by any other occasion. And the way we start benching is Birshus. Now, again, when we regularly start benching, we say Birshus, Rabbanan, Rabbanan, Say, right? But here, we start with Birshus, Kel Ayom V'Noira, Miskav Li'itais B'Tzara. I'm asking Rishus from Kel Ayon V'Naira, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is high, mighty, awesome. Miskav, he is a helper, he is a support, Li'itais B'Tzara, to difficult times, to difficult periods of times that we might have. Because this is the only Su'udah that we know, he has come. According to the Svarna, he is there with us. And the Su'udah, it's also part of the bris, meaning there's two parts to the bris. There's the part of the bris where where the bris actually happens, and then there's the part of the bris where there's the su'uda part of the bris, which, again, is reminiscent of all the other su'udas that we have in Tanakh that have a meal component to them. So therefore, when you go to a bris, and you stay at the bris, and you partake of the su'uda, you're also being part of the bris, again, as evidenced by the zimun, that we are asking for Rishus, the only time and the only place that we do, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bench, to start benching, not just from the people around us, but also from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And perhaps this is also why we have a minhag for the father of the boy to stay up the whole night before the bris, as he's preparing for Kabbalas Pnei Ashrina. The same way that we, all of Klal Yisrael, are noyeg to stay up the whole night before Shavuos, because we are going to be meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu again as he gives us the Torah. At a bris milah, the father of the boy knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming and meeting him, and therefore it's his own personal Kabbalas Pnei Hashchina, and this is why a father of a young boy, there is that minhag to, at the Vachnach, to stay up and to learn Torah the whole night. So may we be zeicha to celebrate many simchas and many brisas together. And the next time you get an announcement that there is a bris milah and you actually go to it, have in mind that you're participating in something that is pretty high and lofty.